Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from St. Paul's first epistle letter to the Christians in Corinth, the 12th chapter, which you heard read earlier. 38 years ago, President Ronald Reagan issued a presidential proclamation designating January 22nd, 1984, as National Sanctity of Human Life Day. Ever since that proclamation, on the third or fourth Sunday in January, pastors and churches and life organizations across the United States have observed Sanctity of Life Sunday to raise awareness of the attacks against human life in our nation. So today we observe Sanctity of Life Sunday. But when a pastor brings up topics of transgenderism, crisis pregnancy, abortion, embryonic stem cell research, assisted suicide, and euthanasia, many Christians get uncomfortable and they squirm in the pew. And they come up to me and say, "Pastor, those hot button political topics have no place in the church." And while I do agree that politics does not belong in the divine service, as baptized believers in Christ Jesus, each of us must recognize what God's word says. Jesus is the author of life. His word is truth. And he alone has final authority on all questions of sex and gender, and issues of life and death from conception to natural death. But Satan wants you to believe that the church is commingling politics and religion. The devil, the world, and the sinful flesh have seduced society into believing that it's your body, so it's your choice to do whatever you wish with it. And even if there is a little one growing inside of mom's womb, well, mom can do as she wishes with that little one. The devil deceives you by saying, "Did God actually say that life begins at conception? Did God actually say that boys cannot become women and women cannot become men? Did God actually say that when you no longer find value living, or if you're dying by an uncurable disease, did God actually say that you shouldn't stop your suffering by seeking assisted suicide?" The devil's a liar. He deceives. According to God's word, it is not your body to do with however you wish. St. Paul writes, "Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." God chose you in Christ Jesus, and that changes everything. In the beginning, God created man in his own image. Male and female, he created them to be fruitful and multiply and to be stewards over all of his creation. So that means that all human life is sacred and is to be treated with special respect. Death was never part of God's original plan. It only came into the world as a result of sin. And because all mankind is cursed by sin, in his infinite love, God chose you and all mankind from long before the foundation of the world. He chose you for adoption to himself as sons through Christ Jesus, whom he sent into the world to be your substitutionary sacrifice for your sins. Scripture teaches us that even before conception, God has written out the entire course of your life. All the days are written out from your conception to your natural death. And this means that no one is conceived apart from God's will. Scripture also teaches us that God desires that all people be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And it teaches that the Holy Spirit desires to call all mankind to faith through the preaching of the gospel and in the holy waters of baptism, uniting people with others in Christ's church, each a part of the body. Each person is an indispensable part of the body of Christ. St. Paul writes, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all of the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into the body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and all were made to drink of the one spirit." The human body is made up of many, many different parts, starting with cells and groups of cells that form tissues, and those tissues that form organs and groups of organs. And you guys understand it much better than me. I'm just a simple carpenter. But eyes and ears, hands and feet, all the different organs of the body, so too it is with the body of Christ, His one holy Christian and apostolic church. The body is made up of very, very many, many unique and diverse individuals, slave and free, various political backgrounds, socioeconomic backgrounds. But all who have been baptized have been united into the one body and the one spirit, and are one in Christ Jesus. Now, to be sure, this is not of your own doing. You could no more choose to be conceived than you can choose to be saved. Jesus says to you, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." You see, just like every part of the body, you are critical to the body of Christ. You might not think so. You might not think you are the most talented singer or the best speaker or leader. Heaven knows that I'm certainly not. Or maybe you believe that everything in Christ's church gets along just fine without your help. In our text, Paul stresses that no matter how insignificant the part of the body may seem, it has a vital role to play in the healthy functioning of the whole body. Now, perhaps pride and jealousy cause you to desire that God had made you into a different part of the body, maybe with a higher gift, perhaps with a lower gift. Like your human body, every member of the body cannot have the exact same function. So repent of thinking that the church doesn't need you. Repent of desiring that you had a greater gift or a lesser gift. Repent of your pride and jealousy. Repent of rebelling against God's will in your life, because it's not you or your fellow believer that has placed you into the body and given you your specific gifts. God has done that. In our text, Paul says, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. Just as God arranged eyes and hands and head and feet, each to assist and complement each other, so too the body, the parts of the body of Christ Church. The human body is like a choir or an orchestra. Each singer and musician is assigned a vital role, and they all come together to produce a pleasing result. Similarly, God chose you as an individual part of the body. and appointed you that you go and bear fruit. So if he's granted you the gift of music, bear fruits of music, hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making loud melody to the Lord with all your heart. If he has given you the gift of teaching, teach our little ones in the Sunday school, where we have plenty of children and perhaps too few teachers. If he has granted you with a gift of leadership, bear your fruits of leadership on the church council, leading St. Timothy into the future. And if he has blessed you with the gift of finances, bear your fruits of tithes and offerings so that the lights stay on and the place is heated in the winter, air conditioned in the summer, but most especially so that the gospel is proclaimed and the sacraments are administered in this place. No matter how insignificant a part of the body may seem, each and every part has a vital role to play in the functioning of the whole. And that includes those parts that you and I think are insignificant, those parts that you and I think are lacking and ineffective. St. Paul says the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. So these weaker parts of the body that we look down upon, what do you suppose those parts of the body could be in the context of Life Sunday? Well, unfortunately, the world views those born with physical and mental disabilities as weak and unpresentable. And if those disabilities are discovered prior to birth, or if it's just merely an unplanned and inconvenient pregnancy, society's answer is abortion. Some people become disabled, no longer able to work, no longer have a will to live. Those who no longer value their life and those dying from incurable disease now seek out assisted suicide. They call it death with dignity. Sounds pretty majestic. But there's no dignity in taking your own life. There's only one person who ever died with dignity, and it wasn't exactly dignity, but he died in glory, shedding his blood, giving his life to purchase you from death back into life. You are not your own. And as for all of your and my self-perceived deficiencies, it's God who arranged the members of his body, each one of them as he chose. God chooses the foolish in the world to shame the wise, and he chooses what appears weak to the world to shame the strong. And on the last day, the many who were first will be last. And many who are last today will be first. Jesus would remind you that his grace is sufficient in all cases, for his power is made perfect in weakness. In his rich wisdom, our Lord has given us all these different parts of the body, treated with greater modesty, to serve in love and compassion. As we talked about earlier downstairs, they are given for us, healthy members of the body, to serve, just as Christ compassionately loves and serves you. He would have you love one another, showing honor and service even to those whom we deem inferior. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. He would have you serve one another in brotherly love, attempting to outdo one another and showing honor to others. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Sanctity of Life Sunday is not a political statement, because Christ Jesus is the author of life. His word is truth, and he alone has the final word on all questions of sex and gender, all questions of life and death from conception to natural death. And thankfully, the God who chose to knit you together in your mother's womb also chose not to let you die in your sin. He chose instead to redeem you so that you could be reconciled to him. So for all those times you have sinned against God with your poor life choices, God chose his son and sent him into the world to take your place, taking away your guilt of sins of abortion, transgenderism, assisted suicide, whether you had an active role in one of these cases or merely a passive role. But Jesus died to forgive you of all those sins and all your sins of failing to bear fruits of being part of the body of Christ. However, he has assigned you with whatever tools he has blessed you with. He died to forgive you for failing to show honor and service to those who society deems as inferior. So, dear redeemed, repent, confess your sins, and receive our Lord's absolution. As a called and ordained servant of the word, I announce the grace of God to you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The God who chose to give you life at the moment of conception is the very same God who chose to come for you, rescue you, and redeem you so that you might have eternal salvation. And he did it all by sending his son, born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, so that he could experience every single stage of human life, so that you could be forgiven and given life everlasting with him. In love and grace, God chose you from before the foundation of the world to be his child. In baptism, you were united in one body and one spirit and are one in Christ Jesus as a member of Christ's true body. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. And Christ has chosen you and appointed you for a purpose, to serve as his disciple by bearing fruit in his kingdom. So glorify God in your body. By God's grace, bear fruit and make God-pleasing choices that glorify God in all of your life choices for the sake of the one who first chose you. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.